Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like for you to participate some this morning. It won't be difficult. Simply by the raised hand will be sufficient at the beginning. How many of you have at some time in your life run a race? Maybe in grammar school you just raised somebody. Alright, I think everybody... Anybody here that hadn't? Keep them up. We're going to keep going with this. All right. So you've run a race at some time with somebody. Maybe your sister, your brother, a race. Okay. All right. Keep them up. Now, how many of you here have run the Peachtree race, road race on July 4? Okay. Keep those hands up. Keep them up if you've done it. Good. Good. Now, how many of you here have run a half marathon, 13.1 miles? Keep those hands up if you have. Okay, got one hand up. Two hands up. How many have run a marathon? 26.2 miles. All right, hold it up a little higher there, Marshall. All right, one of us has run a marathon, 26.2 miles. Now, do you wonder why only one of us has run a marathon? Every one of us has run a 10-yard race, right? Because a marathon's a lot more difficult, isn't it? A lot harder. It's one thing to run even a mile. It's another thing to run 26.2 miles. I get tired driving 26 miles. I cannot imagine running that far. Well, the Bible talks about the Christian life being like a race. Now, do you think the Christian life is like a 100-meter sprint? Or do you think it's more like a marathon? I'll tell you the truth, it's more like an obstacle course marathon. And if you'll see your Christian life in that way, it will help you to expect the obstacles and expect it to be a marathon. Now, as I look out over Christendom, what I see in this church even, what I see is I don't see everybody on the track running that marathon. I see some people having run 100 yards and they've just kind of gotten tired and pulled off sitting on the grass. Some have run a mile and they've given out. Others are just not even hardly walking. They've just about quit. Now today, what I'm concerned about and what I desire and what I believe God desires is for you and I to run that race and to keep running that race so that when we die with our running shoes on. I heard the expression all my life, he died with his boots on. But I never understood that until my dad died. And when he died, he had his boots on. Then I understood. He died working on his farm, doing what he loved to do, and he had his work boots on. As opposed to having lain in bed for weeks or months and slowly dying that way. And I said, Lord, I know I don't have a choice in this matter, but if I did, I'd love to die with my boots on. I'd love to die doing what I love to do and not have to be laid up for months, maybe even years as an invalid and then die. Let me die as I'm going full speed ahead. I said, I even thought, man, let me die while I'm preaching. And I said, well, no, that might be a little tough on the people. It'd be kind of hard to finish the service, wouldn't it? If I just fell over. But anyway, if it happens, you say, well, he prayed that. So... But anyway, what I desire and what I know God wants is He wants you and I to die with our running shoes on. He wants us to die running that race. and giving it everything we got. Running that marathon obstacle course. And in our passage today, God gives us six things that if you and I will do these, we will run that race and die with our running shoes on. Look over at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. Stand in respect for the Word of God while I read. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You may be seated. Now, the historical setting for our passage today is that these first century Christians had come from a Jewish background. And early on, when they became Christians, they found themselves in some adversity and in some hardships, but they got off to a great start. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells them to remember what they've gone through in the past and how they hung in there. But now they are once again going through some hardships and persecutions, and some of them are being tempted to go back to Judaism because of the pressure they're experiencing from the outside to go back toward Judaism. Some of them are being tempted to do so. And so the writer of Hebrews writes to them and pleads with them, no, don't do that. Continue to be faithful. Continue to run the Christian race. And that's where we find our passage today. Now, the first thing we need to do, if we're going to die with our running shoes on, is we need to be encouraged by those who have finished well before us. He says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, the picture here is one of the Olympic-type arenas, the Olympic stadiums that we've all come to recognize. And you have the stadium in a circular fashion, and people have filled the stands, and there's a track that makes a circle there on the field of the stadium. And the picture is that we as Christians are running that race, and there in the stands is this great cloud of witnesses. Now, who are those witnesses in the stands? I think they are those that he's just mentioned in the chapter before, in that hall of fame of the faithful. We have Moses, and you have Elijah, and you have Daniel, and you have Joshua, and you have Abraham, and all those saints of the Bible who finished well, who ran the race and died with their running shoes on. And as we are running that marathon, we glance up in the stands and we see these people who have finished the race well, and we're encouraged to keep going. When you might be tempted to slow down, you glance and see them and you say, they did it, I can do it. I remember when I was preparing to take the driver's test to be able to drive as a young man of 16. And back then you got your learner's permit first, and then you drove for a year with your parents in the car. And then you went and took the driver's test, the actual written test. Now they take the written test before they even give them the learner's permit, which makes sense, doesn't it? But back then we didn't do so. And so it was coming time for me to take the written test, and I was getting kind of nervous about it, and I was getting fretful about it, thinking I won't be able to pass it. But then I was walking down the street of my small town, and I knew everybody in town. It's that kind of town, and I'd see people drive by. And I knew, you know, that guy didn't even finish high school. And he'd pass that test because he's driving. And I'd see this other person. I'd say, you know, I don't think they got any more sense than I got. And they passed the test and they're driving. And you know what? It encouraged me. If they can do it, I can do it. And that's kind of the picture we get here as we're running that race and we glance and see those that have finished well and we think, hey, they did it. By God's grace, I can do it too. You know, that's what he has in mind. You're running the marathon and you're on mile 12 and you know you got 14 more miles to go and you're already getting tired. But you look up in the stands. Man, you see some overweight folks who finished. You see some skinny folks who finished. You see some old folks who finished and you think, man, if they did it, I can do it too. And they're encouraged. It really encourages me to look at people I know who died with the running shoes on. You know, I think of Lord Corsi. He was giving it all he had, dying with his running shoes on. I think of Annie Ekmajian. And I think about her and I'm encouraged. Man, I could go on and name people after people. You and I, Donnie Whitfield, others who died with their running shoes on. And that encourages me. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying first. Be encouraged by those who have run the race and finished well. Second thing, he says you must lay aside every weight that would slow you down. Again, verse 1. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Now that word encumbrance means weight. Now if you're going to run a race, you want to get rid of all excess weight. You don't see people running a race with a heavy coat on. You don't see people running a race with work boots on. Have you ever picked up a pair of track shoes? Picked up a pair of running shoes? Man, they are so light. And there's a reason for that. You see, weights do two things. They slow us down and they tire us out. And so when you're running a race, you strip down to as much as you can and still be decent. Because you want to get rid of all the excess weight. You don't want to be carrying anything extra. Because excess weight tires you out, slows you down. When you're running the Christian marathon, you don't want any excess weight. You want to be down to as low as you can be. You want to have light shoes on. You want to be down in your running shorts. What are some of the excess weights that I see Christians carrying that slow them down and tire them out? Let me share with you about four. These are not exhaustive, just representative. First, misplaced priorities. People let things get ahead of God in their lives. It could be work. Could even be their family. It could be sports. It could be their school. It could be other relationships that they have. But you know what those things do? And they weigh us down. They tire us out. They slow us down. You let anything get in front of God in your life and it's going to slow you down. And your Christian marathon, it's going to wear you out too. You're going to get so tired trying to run that Christian life when your work is the first priority in your life. You know it, don't you? When your finances are the most important thing in your life, it's going to be very difficult for you to run that Christian marathon well. Second weight, trying to run in our own fleshly energy. Trying to run the Christian life in your own fleshly energy is like trying to run a race with a piano on your back. And my football coach used to holler at me and say, get that piano off your back. I'd look around. There was no piano on my back. Not literally, but, you know, you can't run that way. Too heavy. It's slow. Well, nothing will wear you out any quicker than trying to live the Christian life in your own strength rather than allowing and depending on the Holy Spirit of God to live through you. In His power. You will, if you just find yourself so worn out, you don't think you can put another step in front of the other one, then I can assure you, you are trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. Not resting in the power of Christ in you through His Spirit. not being filled and empowered by His Spirit. Another weight that I see hindering people is wrong expectations of God. Wrong expectations of God. What do you mean, preacher? When God doesn't do like you think He ought to do, you expect God to bless you because you're coming to church and because you're tithing, because you're doing what you think you ought to do, and yet hardship comes into your life. And what do? God, you're not fulfilling your part of the deal. God, you're not fulfilling and doing what you ought to do. I'm doing what I should do, but you're not. And so what do? You get mad with God. You get angry with God. You think God's not doing like He's supposed to do in your mind. And that wears you down. That slows you. And then worldliness. An appetite for the world and what it has to offer. Its pleasures. Its prestige. Its possessions. All of those things will wear you out and slow you down. So He says we must lay these aside. And the word picture here is a stripping off old dirty clothes. Get rid of them. Take them off. These weights, you got to shed them. Remove them from you so you can get freed up to run the race. And not get tired and weighed down unnecessarily. The key is anything that hinders your walk with Christ. Anything that's keeping you from walking and running the race, you need to lay it aside. Go through your life and just take different things and say, you know, is my job hindering or helping my walk with Christ? You say, well, preacher, but I got to work because we got to live. Well, I agree with that, but maybe you need to work in a way that it doesn't hinder your walk with Christ, but helps you walk with Christ. Go through your life and just ask that question. And if it doesn't help you walk with Christ, then you need to either change the way you're doing it so that it does help the way, or you need to get rid of it. And I believe God will give you the wisdom to know how to do that. So first, you need to be encouraged by those who finish well. Secondly, you need to lay aside all the weights that would weigh you down. Thirdly, you must lay aside the sin that keeps tripping you up. He goes on to say, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Now the word entangles means easily encircling or most besetting. Now weights slow you down and they tire you out. But you know what sin does? It trips you up. This whole idea of encircling, entangling. It's the idea of trying to run a race with ropes around your feet. You know, you run a few feet and you slip and fall. You get back up, you run a few more feet, you slip and fall. You keep getting tripped up. Is that a picture of your Christian life? Because of sin? You run a few feet and your sin trips you up? Keep falling? You must lay aside that particular sin that keeps tripping you up. And it seems from the passage that he's talking about a particular sin. That most besetting, that most tripping up sin. You see, I have one sin that gives me more trouble than any other. And you do too. But it's not the same as mine. But you have one. It might be pride. It might be envy. It might be jealousy. It might be worry. It might be fear. It might be lust. It might be selfishness. It might be bitterness. It might be laziness or whatever. But there is one sin that particularly gives you fits. And he is saying, as you look at that sin, you have got to put it aside. You have got to confess and repent of that sin. You have got to say, God, this is sin in my life. I don't want it in my life. And by your grace, I'm going to turn away from it. You see, he's already given you the victory over it. It does not have absolute power over you. As a Christian, its power over you has been broken. You have died to sin and you're alive to God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have victory over that sin. But you've got to want to have victory, and you've got to make up your mind that you are going to put it aside and not let it keep tripping you up in your Christian race. Come before God and say, God, this keeps tripping me up and I don't want it to. And I know you have delivered me from the power of this sin. And by your power, I can walk in victory over it. And by your grace, I choose to do so today, looking to you every moment of every day. And He will give you that victory. And you will not keep getting tripped up, but you will be able to continue to run that Christian marathon. So first, be encouraged by those who have finished well. Secondly, get rid of any excess weights. Thirdly, lay aside that sin that keeps tripping you up. And then fourthly, you must keep going even when you want to quit. He goes on to say in verse 1, let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. It's not enough just to remove all the excess weights. It's not enough just to get rid of the sin that's tangling you up. You must actually keep running the race even when you want to quit. That's what endurance is all about. Now, I have read about people who have run marathons tell me that usually around mile 22, somewhere around there, they hit what's called the wall when everything inside of them wants to stop. Their feet are hurting. Their muscles are aching. They are tired. They're weary. And if they are not prepared, they will stop. They've got to run through that wall. This is what the writer of Hebrews is saying to you and me. That when you come to that wall in your Christian marathon, you've got to keep going anyway. Even when all your spiritual muscles ache and you're spiritually fatigued, you've got to keep going anyway. You've got to reach down through the pain and through the fatigue and keep on keeping on. Even when you want to quit. The biblical word endurance means to remain steadfast under the pressure. Now, you've heard me give this illustration, but it's so good, I'm going to keep giving it. So just get prepared. This word had its foundation. It was used of the Roman army's phalanx. You remember the Roman army came up with this military strategy, device, that when they would go on the battlefield, they would take their soldiers who had the door shields, those big shields that looked like doors, and they would line them up side by side across the battlefield. And then they would advance toward the enemy. And it was just like a wall coming toward the enemy. They could shoot their arrows, but they would hit those shields and they'd have pitch on the outside of them and they would extinguish the arrows and they just would keep marching. Well, finally, the enemy decided what they would do is they would bring up their cavalry, their guys on the horses, and they would have their horses charge that phalanx. And so what the Roman soldiers would do is they would kneel down behind that door shield and make it like a ramp. And those horses would run over that ramp, and then the soldiers would jump up with their spear and throw it at the rider of the horse. Now, the word used to describe that soldier kneeling down under that door shield, being that ramp, as he heard the hoofbeats of the horse, as he felt the ground shaking as the horse was approaching, if you can imagine that, knowing that the full weight of that horse was going to come on his shield, but he was going to remain steadfast under that, is the word endurance. That's the word they used. So when Paul says run with endurance, I'm pretty sure his readers as well as Paul had this word picture in mind of these soldiers remaining steadfast as the horses were approaching. Endurance is a very important word in the Christian life. In fact, it is important in this chapter, three times in this section, Paul uses it. First, he says, we're to run with endurance a race that is set before us. And then he talks about Jesus in verse 2, who for the joy set before him endured, same word, the cross. And then in verse 3, he uses it again, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, make no mistake, the Christian life calls for endurance. You've got to keep going even when you want to quit. Your attitude has got to be, I'm going to run the race of God that He has set before me, and nothing is going to stop me. Nothing. God, I'm looking to You for the strength and the power, and I am determined in my will to walk with You every day of my life. And when I take that last breath, I'm going to have my spiritual running shoes on. And I'll just run right on the glory. That's the finish line, the gates of glory. I'll run right through to Jesus. No matter how rough, no matter how tough, no matter how dangerous a race becomes, in Your power I will persevere. That's the attitude we've got to have. Do you think anyone's ever finished a marathon that started a race thinking, you know, I might not do this today, I'm just going to see how it feels? You think? No. If they ever started like that, they never finished. They decide to run the marathon before they ever get up to the starting line, before they ever begin the race. The decision has been made, I will finish. And if it's not that way, they don't finish. Not everybody who starts one finishes it, you know that. But the ones who finish, they've made their mind up long before they ever took their foot and put it to the starting line. That's the way it is with the Christian life. Next, we must focus on Jesus. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, look at this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You glance at the crowd in the stands. That's just a glance. Temporary. Fleeting. But you fix your gaze on Jesus. This word fix means to steadfastly focus your attention on something. It means to look intently. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the key. Don't look at those folks that have fallen by the wayside, those fallen leaders. Look at Jesus. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. He's the one. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author, the trailblazer of faith. He not only finished the marathon, but He finished it perfectly in record time. He's the one you look to. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is not only the author of your faith, but He is the perfecter of your faith. He will keep you going. He will give you the faith to keep going. Look to Jesus. That's the amazing thing about this Christian life, is that the strength is not in us, but it's in Him. If I had Jesus' strength, I could run a marathon, literally. But I can't do it in my strength. You remember when, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew children got ornery again, and they were complaining. And so God just got fed up, and He sent fiery serpents. You remember? And they were biting them and killing them. And Moses said, man, they're upset, Lord. They're sorry. He said, okay, make a serpent. And put him up on a pole. And when somebody is bitten, all they need to do is look at this serpent on the pole, and they'll be healed. Now, there's no way you and I can scientifically figure out how somebody on the ground, bitten by a snake, poisonous snake, can look at a snake on a pole in the air and it healed them. But it did. The same thing about this race that we're in, spiritual race. As you're running that race, And you get discouraged. And you get tired. And you get weary. If you'll fix your eyes on Jesus, He will strengthen you. He will supernaturally enable you to keep going. Just as they looked on the serpent and it affected them, if we look at Jesus, it will spiritually benefit us and affect us and enable us to keep going. Focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because He endured the cross for us. He so rejoiced in God's glory that He was willing to endure the cross even though He despised the shame of it. The death of the most rank and vile criminals of their day was crucifixion. And yet Jesus went to the shameful death with joy because He knew of its benefit for you and for me. Now that He has humbled Himself by death on the cross, He has been exalted to highest honor. Go to the Gospels. Open up the Gospels and pray and say, God, reveal Jesus to me. I want to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus today. I need to be encouraged in my Christian life. I need strength today to keep going. You know what I've been doing. You know I'm fainting and I need strength. Show me Jesus. And you get in the Word. And He'll show you Jesus. And you'll get strengthened. And you'll be empowered to keep going. Focus on Jesus. And then, lastly, you must think about what Jesus endured for you. Verse 3. For consider Him. That's interesting. This is the only command in these three verses. This is the only verb in the imperative mood in these three verses. This is a command. Consider. Think about. Ponder. Jesus and what He endured, what He remained steadfast under when sinners were hostile and murderous toward Him. Consider what He went through. Consider what He endured for you and for me. He was lied about. He was slandered. He was hated. He was betrayed. He was mocked. He was scorned. He was blasphemed. He was treated as a criminal. He was falsely accused. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was nailed to a cross. He was murdered. For me and for you. The writer of Hebrews says, think about that. I command you to consider that. To what end? To what end, does he say? That you will not grow weary and lose heart. When you're getting tired, you're growing weary, you're almost losing heart, look at Jesus. Think about what He endured for you. And He will give you the strength to keep on going. To keep on running the race. That you might die with your running shoes on. Will you make that commitment today? Will you make that commitment today? Will you say, God, I'm going to commit today by Your grace that I'm going to die with my spiritual running shoes on. I'm going to be in the race. And maybe you need to get back in the race. Maybe you've been over sitting under the shade tree and you need to get back in the race. Maybe you've slowed down to just a walk and you need to pick up the pace in this Christian life. Will you make that commitment today? As I said earlier, the commitment to run a marathon starts long before you put your foot on the starting line. Will you be committed right now, today? God, no matter how many years You give me, be it one more year, 5 more years, 20 more years, 50 more years, 60 more years, 70 more years. Some of you in here probably got 70 years ahead of you. I will, by Your grace, God, as an act of My will, I will finish well. I will die with my running shoes on. Will you make that commitment today? Let's spend some time in prayer. You do business with God, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to express this commitment. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our Minister of Community Connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.